quarter number two, and we are talking about the breaking news out of the NBA. That's that Michael Porter Jr.'s little bro, Jonte Porter, has been banned by Adam Silver for life. He can no longer ever play in the NBA. Can he go watch his brother at a game?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Is he banned from, you know, going to NBA arenas?
Right.
I'm not sure if that's how it works, or if you just can't, you know, play for the NBA. So that's a good question.
Well, so I'll see if I can find that out. When this news popped, we all had the same thought of like, wow, is this the first time an active player has been banned by a league? Obviously, when you think about banned, Stoke, what's the first name that pops to your head?
P. Rose.
It's P. Rose, right?
Yes.
That's everybody's thought. Now, that's going to change a little bit with Jonte, but Jonte wasn't the player that Pete Rose certainly was. And now I am looking at Wikipedia. I feel like Wikipedia's, you know, pretty reliable, but can get loose from time to time. I didn't know this, Stoke. A lot of the people, that's what I was looking at, how many people have been banned by the NBA for life. And, you know, you go back to 2016 was the last one before this. O.J. Mayo. It's substance abuse stuff, and this was marijuana. I think that's pretty dumb, right, in today's world and society that we live in. Banning someone for life for smoking weed is, in my opinion, really stupid. But that's what the NBA does, or did, at least. Before that, it was Donald Sterling. Now, obviously, that's warranted for the ban there. And then everything before that, it's all substance abuse issues for the most part. You can go back to the 50s and point shaving scandals and things like that. I didn't realize Doug Moe had dealt with this before. And again, Wikipedia says after being drafted by the Chicago Packers in 1961, Moe was actually banned by the NBA for his involvement in the 1961 NCAA University Division men's basketball gambling scandal, where he received $75 and was in some trouble for that. Moe later played professionally in the ABA, and then, of course, we know was a head coach in the NBA because he won the most games ever for the Denver Nuggets.
Well, I mean, so he didn't get a lifetime ban then?
No. This is the ban list.
Okay, because he came back and coached.
Yeah. And so, in fact, the only lifetime is Donald Sterling and Jonte Porter.
So how long did he get? So he got suspended then.
Yeah, that's what it
sounds
like.
That's kind of what it is. That's not right? That's a suspension. So what was, you know, was he suspended a couple years, 1 year?
He was the first individual to get his ban reversed due to there ultimately being no real evidence connecting him to the scandal directly.
Okay. So he had
some smoke, but no fire.
Right. He got banned, and then they said, well, never mind. We don't really have enough evidence, and we'll rescind that ban?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And then a lot of people reacting on the text line. This might be the same texter that was mad at us, but says it's not part of the Michael Porter Jr. legacy. All right. It's a part of the Porter legacy. In 10 years from right now, 970, and somebody says, man, that Porter thing, wasn't there a Porter? They're not asking about Michael. Let me promise you that. They're remembering Jonte being banned for gambling on his own games. We'll remember Michael because he helped us achieve greatness. But the rest of the world, it's about Jonte, not Michael.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And how many guys have been banned while, you know, playing during their career, in the middle of their career? Like, who are these guys as far as, you know, you like you said, there's been guys that have been banned for substance abuse stuff, mm-hmm. right? Where all of a sudden, you know, it's one strike, well, they get suspended, and then they get suspended again, and then they get banned, right? We've seen that.
Yeah.
This just came out of nowhere. It was no suspension. It was like, wham, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And for gambling. So you just we haven't seen this. And to an active player, look, this thing is, we've been talking a lot about it ever since gambling has become legal, you know, all over the country, not in every state, but a lot of states that, and all of a sudden the sports leagues are taking the gambling money
mm-hmm.
and partnering up with the gambling companies.
Yeah.
And we talked about it, you know, and we saw it with the NFL players getting suspended and betting on, you know, different sports at the facility or
that's right.
Or team hotels or whatever the case may be. Right. Which wasn't allowed. And so it was only a matter of time until someone really got busted and got caught. And, you know, it's an NBA player to think this is going to be the last, I think is really naive. It's a slippery slope that these sports leagues were doing.
You don't think a lifetime ban is a harsh enough slap on the wrist to scare the heck out of people?
Well, I mean, no.
Really?
No.
I would like to think so, but maybe I'm being right. naive in that.
Yeah, I just think that you don't think they talk about this stuff with the NBA players, with the NFL players, and hey, you do this, look what can happen to you, right?
Yeah.
And I think in the end, people look at making a quick buck and say, okay, well, you know what? And then it starts off really small and you get away with it. Then it's next thing you know, you're betting, you got a buddy betting $80,000 on a three-leg under parlay on Jonte Porter to hit unders and it cashes. And then you get busted.
Right.
So I just, like, you saw it with the NFL guys,
mm-hmm.
right? Like Calvin Ridley was the first one.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, more guys still got caught.
That's right. Calvin got a year, right?
He got a year. And all of a sudden, other guys were still doing it. You'd think you would look at that and say, oh, they know.
Mm-hmm.
They'll find out. But guys still tried it, and then guys got busted. So I just think that you're going to continue to see these situations happen. Hopefully not. It stinks that someone, you know, an active player just got banned for life.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this, I think that's a shame, but that's the rules.
I actually want to keep this going, but I also want to get into the Nuggets and Lakers conversation because I want to start to preview a little bit of that. But I want to talk to you next about Michael Porter's presence and how he handles this. And I think there's two different lanes, Stoke, of you face adversity and you get away from it with your workspace, or you bring all that stuff with you to your workspace, and then it could turn into a little bit of a problem. Obviously, family stuff is more important than basketball at all times, but I want to preview a bit of this Nuggets and Lakers matchup and then wonder what kind of MPJ we're now going to get in round one with all this nonsense happening around his family. That conversation's coming at you next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, Nuggets and Lakers, they're going to tip off on Saturday night at 6:30 on ABC. I just love that, too. It's on ABC. The world will get to watch. That's a nice little start to the series. After the Lakers handled their business against the Pelicans last night, a couple of things with this game. We know the Nuggets have won 8 in a row. In fact, they've only lost one home game to the Lakers in the last 4 seasons, and that was an overtime game where Denver was resting starters. So it's been good. It's been good for the Nuggets and the Lakers. Before we dive deeper into the series, Stoke, what do you think about the MPJ? How does it affect him? And as I mentioned, I think there's a couple of lanes of like, hey, you either are sitting in some stuff and you bring it to work with you, or you're sitting in some stuff and you go, I'm going to escape from that with work.
Yeah, I mean, it's not helpful. I mean, right? I mean, you don't want to be thinking about this right now, have this on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
That's your brother. It's not ideal, certainly. But like you said, everyone handles this stuff differently. And I think, you know, some people like to get out there and get away from it by playing basketball, playing football, and that's their outlet. And so it helps them forget about everything else. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you go back home, I mean, you're going to be thinking about this. And it's a big news story, obviously. It's blowing up all over the place that Michael Porter Jr.'s brother has been lifetime banned for gambling on basketball, gambling on himself, and having buddies giving them information to gamble on him. So it's a big story. There's nowhere to run from it. And now you're heading into the playoffs on Saturday. So I don't know how he's wired. I know me personally, I like to get back out there. You know, that's the outlet mm-hmm. where you don't think about it anymore, and all you're thinking about is going out there performing. And then, but there's, you know, to think that it's not a distraction at all, I think that's very naive and foolish. Mm-hmm. So hopefully he can still go out there and perform at a high level. But I think it could be a little bit of a issue.
Yeah.
Possibly here. How do you view this thing?
I'm a little bit like you of, look, we've all faced adversity, right? And, well, hopefully you have. I think that it makes you stronger. But I tend to be in that same boat of, I've gone through some hard times. I've actually gone through a hard time in radio in my personal life. And I couldn't wait to get to the radio station because I got to turn that off for 2 hours, or be it 4 hours, or be it an hour, whatever the case was. So that's kind of how I look at it. Let me get away from that and I guess escape. I don't know if that's the healthiest word, but, you know, escape from it for a few minutes and an hour and turn it off. So that's how I would look at it if I were Michael. I'm not. And Michael's still a young person. I don't know that I could always look at it that at whatever Michael is, 26, 27 years old. I still struggle that I'm 39 years old. So I think if he handles it that way, like, hey, I'm going to use this as an escape. And I think he's got some pretty solid teammates around him. I'm sure coaches are chatting with him about things that are going on. I hope that he does that. I don't know, though. I've seen him really stoked. We can take this back a little bit of since this story broke, it's kind of been when he stopped going crazy, right? Coming post All-Star break, MPJ was on a tear. You might make the argument he was the second best player on the team in a few games coming out of that break. And then he kind of dialed it back as this stuff started to happen. I don't know if I can directly tie the two together, but I bet you the timeline's pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't ignore it. Obviously, when the news came out, how much did he actually know? And what didn't he know? The sports book that his brother opened up was here in Colorado.
Yeah.
So, and he's betting millions of dollars.
He did say, Michael said the only time he met the media and talked about it, said, I'm not going to talk about it. I know just as much as you guys know.
Right.
End quote. And then they started asking him about other stuff.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, will they investigate him? Are they going to look into Michael Porter Jr. now? Mm-hmm. And what kind of distraction would that add on top of everything else? I don't know. But it's not ideal. It's not good. It's and yeah, you can use it as an outlet and you can go out there on the court. But to think that it doesn't take its toll on you when you have a family member that's going through this and that just happened to him. He did say he's like, I have a hard time. You know, he knows how much basketball meant to his brother.
Yeah.
He said that mm-hmm. also. And then all of a sudden now that's taken away. But to think that won't affect you. Your rest, your all those things, right, is weighing on you mentally. I think that's just naive that it won't have any impact on him.
Yeah.
If you had a family member going through that, yeah, you can get out on the court and you can kind of put it behind you and not think about it. Certainly, you're thinking about going out there scoring, defending, all those things. But when you get back home, that's going to be on your mind, and that's not a good thing to be on your mind during the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a big deal today. Jontay Porter, a lifetime ban from the NBA for betting on basketball games. We'll revisit that story.
$80,000 parlay that a buddy of his bet on him on some unders to win over $1 million bucks. Do you think they're not going to, no red flags there, guys?
And what was the guy's, like, active habits before?
Right.
Like
$5.
$5 bets like
$10
me?
Parlays. $80,000 on who? Yeah.
Jontay Porter.
Wait, is he? Oh, he's playing tonight? Oh, my goodness. I mean, I can't believe they allowed that bet to go through.
Right.
So that's craziness right there. That amount of money, usually those things get flagged and they make that bet. You know, you try to bet $80,000 and it ends up, you know, they let you bet $100
mm-hmm.
or $20 on it. So I think it's crazy that they allowed that bet to happen. And then they flagged it, and after I guess it won, they didn't pay it out.
Yeah,
which it's just like, guys, what are you doing here? I mean, you thought you were going to get away with that?
Right.
It's just, man. I do. I feel bad for him. Should I feel bad for him?
For Jontay?
Yeah, like
hell no.
I feel bad for him.
Why?
Because you could see. I don't know. It's just like. It's a slippery slope, you know, and this stuff is so new, and maybe I shouldn't.
I don't at all.
Right.
I think he is really, really not smart.
Well, apparently.
That's really, really not smart.
Yeah, apparently. I agree with you there. But, like, you know, it's like, oh, let me come up here and make a quick thousand. Oh, that was easy. Now let me try to make 10. Oh, now let me try to make 1.1 million. Well, that was his buddy, you know.
Right. He was going to get a little piece.
Exactly. But that's the problem here. It starts off and you tell one guy, your buddy, and then your buddy tells someone, then you're telling other NBA bettors mm-hmm. about this. And it's like, man, obviously not a smart move by him.
And he's only 24, right? I'm sure, actually, I can guarantee you, I did some really stupid stuff at 24.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He's you just, And now,
but I wasn't an NBA player, knowing what the gambling rules were when I was 24.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand it. But for some reason, I just kind of feel bad for the guy because I could put myself in that situation. Like, what would I have done? You know, like if you start going down this road and it's like you're 24 and you're bouncing in between the G League and this and just like. I know. Maybe I'm being too nice.
What's with you today?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You're nervous about the Lakers. You're nice to Jonte.
Golly. You're right.
I think we need to start ripping some people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I'm gonna start being mean again. Way too nice, yeah. And that's not what we do.
We're going to get you some pizza in you, and then we're going to get back on track.
All right, perfect. That's what I need. Up. Pizza.
I want to tell you about the Fan Flyaway. It is back, and this time we're sending a lucky listener, that could be you, and a guest to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship coming up in June. It's the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips, and when you go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway, not only should you register for the prize, also claim your special offer from our friends over at Sport Clips. You're going to get two tickets to a game, round-trip airfare, obviously, from Denver to wherever the destination may be. We'll put you up in a hotel for a couple nights and give you some money to spend while you're out there. $500 on the line. If you already entered into the Fan Flyaway contest back in February for that big game in Vegas, you don't have to enter again, but I would tell everybody I know because it has a plus one, and perhaps you are that plus one. So it is denversports.com/thefanflyaway. Go register and claim that special offer from Sport Clips. Coming up, we're going to New England. What will the Patriots do with that third overall pick? Is it available? Ben Volen of the Boston Globe is going to tell us next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Let's go to the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline and talk to Ben Bowen of the Boston Globe as the Patriots have the third overall pick in this draft. And Ben, we're going to get to that first and foremost. How are you doing today? Thanks for the time.
Yeah, doing great. Thanks for having me.
We want to ask you about the draft, obviously. We're going to tell you to make a pick for the Patriots. But the story today about Bill Belichick not landing that gig in Atlanta, maybe because he didn't get a good reference from Robert Kraft. Did that surprise you at all, that sounds like that relationship was not as good as maybe it looked like from the outside looking in?
No, it certainly doesn't surprise me that the relationship wasn't good. It's been on the rocks now for a few years, and all last season it really came to a head, you know, especially when the Crafts are putting a succession clause into Gerard Mayo's contract to make him kind of the head coach in waiting. And Bill Belichick, you know, every day in staff meetings is, you know, looking at the guy who's trying to replace him. So the whole thing was very awkward, but I would caution, I don't know if Robert, you know, if, you know, the Patriots, first of all, they deny it. They deny that Robert Kraft, you know, spoke ill of Belichick. But even if he did, I wouldn't say that was certainly, you know, the only reason that Belichick didn't get that Falcons job. I think what it was really about was Arthur Blank deciding, you know, am I going to side with Bill Belichick or am I going to side with the people in my own building? Because, you know, the other thing in that article that it made clear, and this is stuff that kind of had been reported already, was that, you know, guys like, you know, like Rich McKay, the CEO, GM, Terry Fontenot, the people inside the building weren't thrilled about the idea of bringing in Belichick, because when Bill Belichick comes in, you know, he's famously difficult to work with, and he's going to want to bring his own people. And the NFL, it's obviously, it's all about self-preservation. So the people inside the building, other than Arthur Blank, didn't want Bill Belichick. And I think Arthur Blank, you know, ultimately and probably smartly sided with the people that he's been working with for a long time instead of tearing everything up with Bill Belichick. So I think it was more that than Robert Kraft saying, you know, kind of tanking Belichick's reputation. But I mean, I don't think it was a great relationship. And I think Arthur Blank, if he was like, hey, what's Bill, you know, what's it like working with him? I think Kraft was probably honest and said what he said, even in the Dynasty documentary, that Belichick's a real pain in the tush.
Yeah. Ben, do you think Bill Belichick, do you think he gets back into coaching next year? It's 1 year off. Do you think there's going to be opportunities for him? It seems like he wants to continue coaching. It seems like he wants to break the all-time wins record. Do you agree with that? And do you think he gets an opportunity next year?
Yeah, I think he definitely would like to do it. It is one of the few things left on his resume, especially, you know, he's chasing Don Shula, who towards the end of his life, you know, kept like taking shots at Belichick out of nowhere, you know, calling him a cheater and things like that. So I think Belichick would probably like to take Don Shula's record for him. As for whether it will happen, I'm increasingly thinking it will not. I think, first of all, the NFL is a young man's game. And if you look at the coaches that are being hired now, you know, increasingly they're under the age of 40. You know, it just everything in the league is trending younger and younger. And Belichick, unfortunately, is 72 years old. And you know, that just kind of works against you. And obviously his reputation for not being the most collaborative coach and being difficult to work with. You know, we'll see about – I know teams like the Cowboys and the Eagles were mentioned. I think the one team that could do it would be the Giants, but there's a lot of sentimentality there with Belichick being the defensive coordinator back in the glory days of the 80s. And I know he and owner John Mara still have a terrific relationship. So I could potentially see the Giants as a landing spot, but I tend to think Belichick has probably coached his last game. Wow. And I think, frankly, he's, you know, this is going to be the first time in 50 years that he's not on a sideline over the weekends. I think he's going to enjoy having his weekends back and having some freedom and being able to just watch games on TV.
Yeah, no more sneaking out on the ring cam. He can just do whatever he wants. We're chatting with Ben Volt of the Boston Globe. All right, Ben, before we ask you to make the pick for the Patriots, can you tell us how real, are there any conversations happening about trading out of that third overall pick and what it would cost?
I think the Patriots would definitely trade out of the number three pick. Jerod Mayo has basically said as much, but it would take, what he said, a bag of picks. I mean, I think they're looking for the trade that the Dolphins got from the 49ers a few years ago when the Niners traded three number one picks to move up from 12 to 3. So I think the Patriots, where they're at, you know, as an organization right now, they need a quarterback, a starting left tackle, a number one receiver, a tight end for the future, you know, plus the regular reinforcements up and down the roster. They have so many needs that I definitely think they would like to trade back, get a lot more picks. That said, you know, I think if, you know, it's hard to just trade out of number three and to pass on Drake May. I mean, I don't think any of us know whether he's going to truly succeed, but from by all accounts, you know, he was built in a quarterback factory, perfect size, arm strength, athleticism. You need that stuff when you're going to play in the cold weather of Foxborough. So, you know, I would be, unless the team makes like you know, just an offer they can't refuse, I think they will stay at number three. But, you know, they're listening. And if a team wants to get stupid and offer a lot of picks, they would trade down and see if they could try to get J.J. McCarthy, you know, maybe at a lower spot.
Ben, okay, we're ready for you to make your pick here. If the Patriots are staying at three and Jaden Daniels is off the board, who do you think the New England Patriots select at three?
Yeah, I think they have to take Drake May. And I know there's some debate about, you know, him and McCarthy and Penix and Bo Nix. To me, you got to draft the traits. And I think you have to focus more on the upside and the positives as opposed to worrying too much about the negatives. Drake May checks a lot of boxes physically, and you just hope that you have the right system in place and the coaching and the support staff that you can make it work. I will say I would watch for the Bears. I think the Bears at number nine want to get really aggressive and would love to pair Marvin Harrison with Caleb Williams in this draft. And I think they know they probably have to leapfrog the Cardinals at four. So watch for the Bears to make one of those stupid trades where maybe they give up the farm in the future to for the Patriots. And the Patriots trade back to number nine and maybe are still able to get J.J. McCarthy. But for now, for this exercise, I'm sticking at three, and it's got to be Drake May from North Carolina.
That is great stuff. Ben Volen right there from the Boston Globe on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. It is Drake May at number three, unless they get that bag for the pick. Ben, great stuff, man. We appreciate you making time for us here in Denver.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, thanks. Thank you very much.
All right, there he goes once again. How Ben Volen that? Right there. That's some pretty good stuff there from Ben.
Yeah, like I didn't really think about that, but the Bears are sitting at nine.
Yeah.
And, you know, like he said, they might want to get that the first receiver off the board and move back up a little bit closer, like he said, to get in front of the Cardinals and get that receiver. So And then if they do that, what do the Cardinals do?
Right.
You know, does that pick come into play? And so that would be quite the domino to fall. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really thought about that with the Patriots moving back a little bit there and getting more picks and the Bears moving up and not getting a quarterback
yeah.
and taking a wide receiver. Very, very interesting there. But if they stay there, looks like it would be Drake May.
Yeah, and so now we've gone to Washington, we've gone to New England, and we're not going to go to Chicago because it's inevitable what's going to happen there. We know Caleb Williams is going to select
right.
He's selecting number one overall, so we don't have to do that exercise. So we have Caleb off the board in Chicago. We have Jaden off the board to Washington, and now we have Drake May off the board to New England. We're going to check in with some other teams before this draft, but it's playing out exactly how we would thought it was going to play out. And then it gets to a race between the Vikings and the Broncos for what happens next, unless the Giants are a big wild card in this conversation, yeah. too.
It's man, it's fun. Once you start doing this exercise, yeah. it's like, wow, I didn't think about that. What? And then if one big move happens, it changes everything behind it,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's what you also got to look at. We're going to do our mock draft tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
1 through 12 or 1 through 13
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we'll probably get the Raiders in there. So
yeah, we need to get them in there, see what kind of dumb thing that they're
exactly.
going to do.
Yeah.
They got new management now, a new coach now, and you know all this stuff. And so it's like, will it be different? They always just seem to do dumb things. And so
is the guy
I think
it'll
continue.
Is his last name still Davis?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, well, then they'll continue to do Raiders
stuff.
There
we go. There we go. But I can't wait. And so it's because there's so many different scenarios here of how this thing could play out. And I wasn't even thinking about the Bears possibly moving from 9 to 3 to get their receiver. So interesting. Very, very interesting there of the things that could happen and how it affects everyone else and how it affects the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be good news for the Broncos if that happened?
I feel like it would.
I do, too, because then you got a quarterback that's falling
right.
a little bit.
Somebody's
not picked at 3. Exactly. So we want a lot of players, positional players, to go before the Broncos pick. Obviously, that pushes the quarterbacks down. That makes the likelihood of the Broncos getting one of those guys higher.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. All right, Broncos country, what did you think of the conversation? Are you willing to go give up a bag of picks, as he mentioned, 3 firsts, to move up from 12 to 3 as they did a few years ago? Let us know on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. When we get back, we're going to hit the ice. The Avs have just that one regular season game left. They know they're going to play Winnipeg in game 1 of round 1. Is there any chance the captain returns for the postseason run? Let's hear where Gabe is at. From Jared Bednar, who was asked that question this week. Answer is coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Stokely, you and I have kind of been on the same page when it comes to the return of Gabriel Landeskog. It feels like wishful thinking. It certainly doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon. He's come out and skated a couple different times and has a setback, and then he'll come back and skate and have a setback, and then he'll be on the road trip being a bro, and then he'll have a setback, and that's kind of what this has been. And yesterday...
Were there setbacks, though?
Like there was a couple when he started skating, yeah.
Okay. All right. Because, I didn't realize, you know, did we ever get news of, like, what the setback was, or, you know, did he re-injure it? Did it, like, was it just a scare, you know? Because obviously a setback can mean a lot of different things,
yeah.
right? And for me, that's that right there. Like, if you have any kind of setback, you just say it's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wrap,
yeah.
right? But go ahead. What was the news?
I think what I had heard is it wasn't like a re-injure. It's a... The recovery, like he's going to go, and he wasn't even going at 100%, but his 75% left him at 20% the next day.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
That, you know, that's obviously not what they're looking for
nope.
when they're back on the ice or field court, whatever the injury is. Well, Jared Bednar, I feel like Bedsy's kind of trying to nip this in the bud. I think he's kind of sick of the conversation and banking, at least fans, banking on the captain returning and, you know, giving the Avs the cup one more time. So he was asked this week about where Landy is.
Yeah, not close. Nothing's really changed with him. His focus and determination to do everything he can to get back to play is still the same as I've seen him before. You know, I mean, he's going to be dedicated to what he needs to do in order to try and come back into our lineup. But nothing's really changed on his rehab front except for him. He's just going to continue to grind to try and get back.
So that was his answer to the question. It was Kyle Fredrickson of the Gazette that asked about Gabe. And you heard him to start, not close. Like, he wasn't like, well, you know, it was a point blank, not close.
Yeah. Guy hadn't played in forever.
Since 2022.
Yeah, so now all of a sudden, you know, the hope is that we're going to play him in the playoffs when he, you know, that's not real. I mean, that's, and then all, then what do you think you're going to get from him? He's going to, like, make this magical run and carry us to the cup? That's fantasy land is what that is. So, and then you take into the consideration of, okay, like, you're going to put him in that position to possibly hurt himself again? So, for what, a month and a half, 2 months of hockey? Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes no sense at all. So, let him rest up, keep rehabbing, and then hopefully he can return next year. I mean, this isn't a sprained ankle he's coming back from, right? This is a big deal, and I don't know exactly what the injury was, but
the cartilage. He's missing cartilage.
Yeah, this could be like a career-ending injury. Not many guys have returned from this injury. And so,
in fact, zero guys.
Yeah.
Zero.
Well, there you go. Not many.
Yeah.
As in none. Never. So, I just the whole talk about it the whole time was just, you know, I mean, people were just reaching there. When you take a step back and you look at the injury, the timeline, how much he's been missed already, it would be a disservice to him to put him back out there, and it would be a disservice to his teammates to put him back out there. So, I'm glad that it's like this. Hopefully he can return next year. That would be a great story if he's able to do that. But to think that he was going to provide some kind of spark and return to the lineup this year, we were both on the same page. That was that would have been foolish.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wishful thinking, basically, from the jump. So they do have one regular season game left. I have an interesting question for you because I know Thursday means something to you. But it doesn't mean a lot to the Avalanche. Winnipeg gets a dub last night. It's locked in. They're two. Avs are three. Going to face off for the first time ever in the postseason, and it's going to start up in Winnipeg. So, Stoke.
Yeah.
When it comes to Thursday's game against the Edmonton Oilers, with absolutely nothing on the line.
Nothing?
Well, something for you.
Exactly.
I'm in because I want you to win. How do the Avalanche handle this? We talked about yesterday that hockey doesn't do it like basketball. They're not just going to shut guys down for the sake of shutting guys down. And you have this working in your favor. Jared Bednar has repeatedly talked about playing the right way and not cheating the hockey gods. But, you know, you're already locked in, so are you actually cheating anything when you're just resting guys? How do you think Thursday looks for the Avs?
I mean, you got to play everybody. I got to hit my over. 105 and a half and that 105. You can't get any closer than this, Josh.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't. I like, let's go. You know my mindset, though, is always been just keep playing. We'll just keep going. If you're banged up, okay, we'll rest you. But if not, how long do they have from Thursday to the start of the postseason?
Well, the rumor is Monday.
So you got Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, like, what are we? And our last game was when? Sunday?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that'd be like over a week of not playing. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Well, obviously the last long extended break that they had was what? The All-Star game. Mm-hmm. How did they play after the All-Star break? Not good.
Not terrible.
They were awful, right? They went on that road trip and they were terrible.
That's right.
So, I don't think you want to be heading into your first round matchup against Winnipeg with a week in between games. I just don't think so. So Edmonton obviously is a good team. So it's not like you just play and it's going to be a win. So that's going to be, but like my mindset has always been, no matter what sport, hey, play. If you're healthy, we're going to keep playing. We're going to try to stay sharp. And certainly they could use some ice time. They need to be better. It hasn't been good enough. You've lost your last couple.
Mm-hmm.
You got your tail whipped 7-0, and then you blew a 3-0 lead the next game to Vegas. To Vegas, right? Or Nashville?
It was Winnipeg, Vegas. Yeah,
Winnipeg, Vegas. Mm-hmm. Right. You blew a 3-0 lead to them and lost that in the third. So, I think you would want to be heading into the playoffs on a little bit of a higher note, feeling better about yourself. That's my thought. I don't know. I don't know what Bednar is going to do here. What do you think they should do?
I'm with you on that. That's the approach to it. But I'm also, well, you know what? Scared money don't win. You got to play. I'm like, well, what if Nico gets hit in the head again? What if Nate goes down? I don't even want to say that crap out loud. Knocking on wood right now. Yeah, you got to go. You got to play. I think you have to play. You get out there. You do it the right way. You have looked bad, sloppy. Like, go clean some stuff up.
Yeah.
So that you feel better about yourself. And more importantly, we feel better about yourselves. And then more importantly than that, Stoke hits the over.
That's right. Need that over.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to weigh here. Okay. What's more important? Like, to be trying to play better and get things headed back in the right direction for the playoffs, or just, you know, bubble wrap everybody up and be completely healthy and have a full, like, week off. Mm-hmm. I think that's too long, personally. And now, you know, I'm looking at this thing with, you know, in a different view than most.
Sure.
Because of my wager that I have on the over, season total over. So I understand that. But my thought process and what I've always said here is in football, you know, if you have a bye week or you're heading into the last game and the playoffs are right around the corner, if you're able to play and you're healthy to play, let's play football,
yeah.
Right? Because all of a sudden you get out of your routine, you take your foot off the gas, and then it's just not quite the same. It's hard to get back going again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will be interesting to see how they handle it. Now, where is this game at?
The game is...
Is it home or in Edmonton?
It is in... it's at Ball Arena. It's at Ball Arena on Thursday.
Okay.
So it'll be like fan appreciation night, too. People love those nights.
Well, we got to play for the fans.
Yeah, show up for the fans.
I mean, this one would hurt.
Texas says Edmonton has nothing to play for either.
Right.
So maybe they take a little night off as they're not limping in like the...
I saw Connor skating the other day, and, you know, he didn't look quite the same, so I think they probably should rest old McDavid there. And,
I was going to say, you guys are on a first-name basis.
Yeah,
huh?
Me and Connor.
Yeah, I like that.
C-Mac. probably rest him. Who's a Drysdal or whatever? Needs
Drysdal?
To rest. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Close enough. I
you
tried my
close.
Best.
Yeah, that was good.
And they got a couple other guys, Kane, and who else do we have, that they they could rest, certainly, especially because they're traveling.
Yeah.
We're not traveling. So
no.
We need to play our guys.
Yeah, you got to have your passport. You get into America. It's a whole deal.
I mean, big, just leave them at home.
Just stay home, guys.
Leave them at home.
That's right.
Don't even make the trip.
Trying to get to 106 points. Don't you guys know that? All right, let's take
need is overtime.
Oh, we just need 1 point. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's all we need is overtime.
So you're
cool
with an overtime loss.
Yeah, does that get me to 106?
It does.
Well, then I win. I'm A-okay with that. That's all we need here. And to be this close, and I don't know. I got to look at possibly, I can't hedge it. I can't try to go and take Edmonton in this game and hedge the bet. That's all in.
Kevin just said double down.
Double down. Oh.
Yeah, that's a smart move, right?
I don't think it is. No. I'm.
You see how nervous he is now?
Yeah, right. Why would I double down on that? I mean, it's a season-long over-under that's coming down the last game.
Yeah.
I had this happen to me with the Rockies a couple years ago.
That's fun, though.
It's great.
Oh,
it's
okay,
unbelievable. Okay. But it's only fun if you win.
Yeah, that's right.
I lost the Rockies one on the last game of the regular season, 162 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, no, it's not fun if you lose, but if you win, it's a great story.
Yeah.
If you lose, it's an awful story.
So
still haunts me. Still got nightmares about the Rockies.
Hopefully Friday, we got an awesome story
that's right.
to share from Stokely. All right, it's lunchtime on a Wednesday. We're halfway through this week. We're going to check in with James Merrilap and see how he feels about the Ball Arena Bros ahead of the playoffs. First, though, we are going to discuss our feelings on this Nuggets and Lakers rematch of the Western Conference Final, and plus also talk about how Deion was on the wrong side of the transfer portal for the first time yesterday. That's coming up next.